Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that place.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and I have a very special guest on today's show. It's none other than my son, Xander Horowitz. What's up, Xander?
Not much. How you doing today, Dad?
I'm doing great. So, you know, Xander, I think it's always great to get a perspective of you know, I guess the millennial guys. You're a millennial, and of course, I do a lot of bitching about the millennials and what's going on and what I see. Now, you're in college. You're going to be a senior. What do you see? What are some of the things you see on campus or around that might bother you as a young guy coming out, getting ready to go to work or go to school? What are some of the things you're seeing in the world of the youth today?
Well, I mean, I think this is something that, you know, it's been going on for a few years now, and I really got an up-close look at it when I lost my phone for a couple days, but I truly think it's amazing, you know, just walking around, you know, whether you're sitting down at a restaurant, whether you're, you know, walking around campus, how many people are actually on their phones and how much time they spend on them. And, you know, I don't blame them. Like, I'm the same way. I'm on my phone all the time, and sometimes I take a step back and think about what I'm actually doing, and it's really nothing. You know, Snapchat, Twitter, you know, a bunch of news outlets, and, you know, I think that's something that I think our generation really lacks is, you know, that conversational skill, that ability to, you know, spark up a conversation with someone. I mean, you know, there's always people in every generation who are able to do that, but, you know, I think with my generation in particular, you know, the avoidance of talking to people is really becoming a big problem. You know, people don't talk on the phone anymore. They text, they email. And I think that's one of the major separators between your generation and my generation is, you know, the emergence of the smartphone. You're basically walking around with a computer and all the capabilities of a computer at the palm of your hand. And I think, you know, we take that for granted sometimes, you know, with how it affects our lives. And I think it's cool, you know, if you have a smartphone, you know, it's cool sometimes to take a step back, leave your phone at home, and you kind of notice, you know, how many people are on their phones all the time. And it's a little worrisome, but, you know, that's just the way this generation is moving and how it's been. And I don't really see it going the opposite way because, I mean, phones are just getting in essence, smarter and smarter and able to do more things. So I see the trend continuing to go, and we'll see how that works out in the business world for people in my generation.
Well, you know, you're somebody who's grown up in the entire technology world. I mean, that, you know, that's what you guys know. That's what you do. And, of course, you know, I swore that I wouldn't get you a phone, you know, way back in the day until you were a certain age. But of course, what I found out is that, you know, if you were going to be in the loop or in the social group, you had to have a phone because that's the only way. You guys don't call a home phone. In fact, most don't have home phones anymore. They use their cell phones, and that became a problem. But do you find that people are lacking social skills now because of the inability to look somebody in the eye and talk to them? I mean, I find that as a bigger problem. What do you see?
Yeah, you know, I agree with that too. I mean, I think, you know, one of the most important things I've learned, you know, through all the school I've been to and, you know, all the classes I've taken is, you know, you meet somebody, you know, give them a firm handshake, look them in the eye, let them know that you're paying attention to them. And that's one thing I've really seen. I met a lot of people in my life, you know, going to college, basically didn't know anybody going into it. So you meet a lot of people right away. People that have a lot of stuff in common with you, people that you're in class with, you know, people that are just walking by. And I think that's one of the main things I've noticed is, you know, that ability to, you know, kind of introduce yourself and not, you know, be glued to a screen or, you know, just kind of standing by watching things happen. I mean, I think that's one of the major things I've noticed, which, you know, I'm pretty thankful that, you know, learning from you, you know, for firm handshake and some eye contact can take you a lot of places.
Do you think that, you know, I mean, my concern, one of my problems is, you know, I hate calling anywhere because you got to go through 9 hours of voicemail just to get through to somebody. Do you guys find that frustrating as well, or is that just part of life and you don't really care?
Are you talking about, like, when you're calling into a company?
Yeah, you got a problem with your credit card, so you're going to call and you got to hit 92 buttons just to get to somebody
right.
to talk to.
That's what I thought you were saying. You know, that is really annoying to me. I just don't know if I see any other way that it can be done. I mean, when you think about, you know, stuff like that, customer service problems, I mean, there's so many people that have so many problems. You know, I feel like to have all that staff on hand to connect you directly to a person would be almost impossible. So, you know, the automated systems, I mean, they're there for the company's benefit. I know that, you know, it makes us frustrated sometimes, and I've had quite a few times, you know, I'm not even 22, but I've had quite a few times where I've wanted to throw my phone through the wall because I couldn't get connected, or the person I was connected with could not help me solve my problem, but was asking me if I had any other problems they wanted me to solve. That's just something that I think that comes with the times, and I don't like it, and I don't agree with it, but I don't really see a way to make it better right now, and I'm sure there's some solutions out there, and I'm sure you might give me your opinion after this, but, you know, for me, that's, you know, I don't like it, but I think that's just the way it is.
It's called an operator. Somebody picks up the phone and says, "How can I help you?" That you know, we had operators.
That's before my time, so I
understand. No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. I understand it's before your time. I mean, obviously, it's very frustrating. And the thing that I hate worse than anything is the I screwed you. I screwed up everything. What else can I help you with? Now that to me is about the most annoying thing. But of course, it's obvious. It's a script that's been tested over time that people continue to use, and obviously it must work because they keep doing it. But I always say, you know, I can't use the expletives I usually use, but I go, I don't care that you tried to do everything you can and so on and so forth. You didn't help me, so what are you going to do to help me? And I think that's a bigger problem, you know, when I look at it. I just see, you know, as I've been quoted, I said we're raising a generation of morons, okay, because in my opinion, social skills are very important, because at some point, unless you're going to be sitting in an office by yourself, you're going to have some social skill. And I don't see our youth developing those skills. I mean, I coach you guys. I hang out with you guys. I understand it. And to me, that's going to become a bigger problem. You know, especially if you're going to have to do something that you will have to interact with people, because at some point, you know, you're going to meet somebody, maybe you'll be in the sales field, that you're going to have to reach out to. And that, to me, will be the end of the problem of this. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. We're getting ready to come up to a break. And since we're using a new system again, I just want to make sure I don't string you out, because I think it's going to click here in a couple of seconds. But we're going to see, because I want to make sure I'm timing it right. And, well, I guess I was wrong, but, you know, I find things to be a challenge for all of us. And I believe that there's better ways to do things. Now, I'm not saying we go back to the old switchboard. I mean, you know, way, way back, they had a switchboard. You had to plug in all these buttons. But there has to be some medium, I think, in between that allows true communication. And especially, you know, as the jobs picture gets worse and we see a lot of things going on, there's going to probably have to be a lot more interaction with other people. So, you know, I know you're pretty good at being interactive because you get it, and you can talk to older people. But what are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I just don't think the environment, you know, I'm basically talking about technology. I mean, the better it gets, sometimes the worse it makes some aspects of society. And I think, you know, this is kind of the perfect example of, you know, the environment we live in today, you know, isn't as conducive to, you know, socializing and interacting with people as it used to be. And like I said before, in every generation, there's going to be people who, you know, develop, you know, immense social skills no matter what setting they're in.
Right. So we have to now, we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with Xander Horowitz, and we're going to stop our break, and we will be right back with more of the Bubba Show. Make sure you get all the downloads of the show at libertytalk.fm. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my very special guest today, Xander Horowitz. So, Xander, you're a double major in economics and finance. And what are you learning in school compared to what you learn sitting around when you're trading with me?
Well, you know, basically, I'd say the main difference is at school, you know, you basically learn out of a textbook, you know, PowerPoints, you know, books, reading articles. And, you know, I think the difference about, you know, sitting home with you is that I get a little more of a real-world look at things. Because, you know, things are happening in real time. You know, Business Channel, it's all live time updates. You know, trading, it's all in live time. And I actually really like the balance between the two because, you know, learning from a textbook is great because you get a basis of understanding of, you know, how things work and how they should work. Now, do I think that, you know, a textbook should, you know, take you out into the real world and be able to teach you all that stuff? No, but... You know, what I loved, you know, basically from starting taking economics, I think my junior year of high school was, you know, I'd seen a lot of things in the world and I'd seen the way things worked, but I didn't really know how they worked. And that first class that I took, you know, really took me to the next level because I was able, you know, kind of take a back seat, learn about supply and demand, and learn about all those, you know, basic concepts that make the world work. And, you know, that's what I really love about the, you know, the experience I've been able to enjoy, you know, learning with you and learning in the classroom. It's been really cool because I kind of get a look at both things and I can put them together in my mind, you know, any way I see them working from the textbook to the real world. So I think it's a good balance, and, you know, I feel very lucky and fortunate that I've been to, you know, a really good high school, and I'm learning at a pretty good school right now, and I've had a pretty good teacher in yourself.
But, you know, don't you think, you know, I mean, theory only works so good. It's like, let's compare it back to sports, okay, because you're an athlete as well. Okay, you can study all the game theory that you want, but there is no replacement for what's happening live at the moment. I mean, nobody tells you that you're going to be up in the bottom of the 10th inning in a tie game and you could have a chance to win the game. Or nobody tells you that there's going to be a line shot coming at you. You're going to have to react to that. Don't you believe that? I understand we have to have some base knowledge, but is there any real substitute for actual in-line experience?
No, I don't think so. And it seems like you're kind of hinting at the Fed a little bit right now and what Ben Bernanke's been doing. I mean, I don't know much about what's going on, but I have heard that same, you know, tone for the past few years. So I can see where you're getting at with that, but, you know, I do agree with you that, you know, textbook, I mean, theory is great, but I think it should be used more as, you know, a proactive measure. You see things developing, you take steps, and like you said, using them as a reactive measure, I don't think it's not the best solution because all situations aren't the same, and you can't copy and paste one page of the book, you know, onto the next page of what's going on right now, because it doesn't always work that way.
Well, I mean, I'm even talking about, I mean, even the presidents of the United States, okay, you know, like him or not like him, it doesn't matter. That part is immaterial, but he's more of a theory president than a real live game experience president. And one of the problems that I feel that are in the world today is that we have too many people operating off of theory and not enough people operating off of true experience. And then when people with experience tell you that you should do something else, our people aren't doing it. And I think that becomes a bigger problem because, again, you can never get better at anything until you've made a couple of mistakes trying to do something the way you think it should be done and reacting to the moment. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, I agree. The best teacher, I think, often is making mistakes because, you know, you should never make mistakes. Either you're not doing enough, you're not trying hard enough, or you're not doing anything. I think making mistakes, and especially it's a really hard comparison because, you know, putting it on its biggest stage is, you know, the world economy, the U.S. economy. I mean, these are important issues that affect, basically the entire world. I mean, they're more important than, you know, a baseball game or a test that you take in class. So they are very important, and I think that's one of the things that the economy has struggled with, you know, ever since the crash in 2008. I mean, I haven't followed everything that's happened, but to me it still seems like there's still a lot of problems and a lot of questions heading into this next election, but how, you know, this economy can really get turned around. Because I'm sitting here almost 8 years later, when it happened, I was 13 or 14, and it still seems, even though the stock market has regained, you know, a lot of its losses, still seems that people are kind of worried about the direction our economy is heading in. So, you know, it seems like, you know, either we're not doing enough things different, or you're not trying enough new things, and I think that's what we've seen. I mean, you talk about interest rates. That's one of the main things that recently raised them. I think we were in Vegas. It happened over winter break, and, you know, that was really one of the first things, I think, that the Fed kind of changed in their attitude of what they were doing. But, you know, 7 years after the fact, you'd think that, you know, maybe we would try some new things to get out of this rut that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I'm not – look, America is the greatest country in the world. I have no problem with that. I just have a problem with the way things operate. So, but you're down in a, I'd say, a blue-collar area, you know, in where you go to school. Now, have you noticed any changes for the better or for the worse since you've been down there? You've been down there for, you know, 3.5 years now. So what does it look like down there economy-wise? And again, you know, be honest, it doesn't matter. I'm just curious because that would be, you know, an area, there's a lot of Caterpillar down there and a lot of, you know, that type of worker down there. So do you think it's better or worse than it was when you first started down there?
You know what? To be honest with you, I really haven't noticed much of a change at all. And that's, I think, in part because I really don't, you know, venture out, you know, into Bloomington that much. You kind of, you know, stay around the same places. You go to you have your friends off campus. You go to a few restaurants. But for the most part, you know, I really haven't seen much of a difference at all. I think, you know, one of the most affected areas, I think, would be West Bloomington. It's, you know, a very poor area, a very high crime rate. And, you know, there's obviously a couple things we do over there. I mean, you know, we go to the movies every once in a while and you see things. But I'd say things have definitely, I think, stayed the same. I don't know if they've gotten any better, but I haven't, you know, been keeping a huge eye out for it. But I definitely say I haven't noticed a huge change for the better in the 3 years that I've been in Bloomington.
Right. Well, you know, again, part of the area there is obviously it's very heavily manufactured. Caterpillar's in Peoria, which, you know, people do live there. It's not that far. And again, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. You know, I haven't noticed myself in that particular area because I don't spend time. And, of course, you spend time, you know, hanging with the guys. So you guys are going basically the same places over and over again. But I do have, you know, certainly concerns overall that I would be concerned about, you know, where we're going later. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. So I'm with my son, Xander Horowitz. We're going to stop by, have a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And by the way, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the downloads of the show. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly 4 decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my very special guest today, Xander Horowitz. All right, big boy. So it's coming that time. You got another year of play dates at school. And, you know, the big question is going to be is what are you going to do when you get out?
Oh, man. The honest answer is I really don't know what I want to do. I'm interested in some sort of business, and when I say business, I mean in general, going into business. I think one of my goals is to live in the city. I kind of want to experience that, you know, for a couple of years. You know, I've lived in the suburbs my entire life, Riverwood now, and Mundelein used to live there. So I kind of want to get experience city life a little bit. I think it'll be really interesting, and you know, at whatever place I end up at, I want to get to experience that. You know, I'd say I'm leaning a little bit towards a career oriented with the stock market. I mean, been learning about it for a long time. I think we started working on stuff when I was a freshman in high school. So that's, I would say, probably one of my biggest interests. You know, been trading on and off for quite a few years now, and it had taken an interest in economics, which, you know, the stock market, news around the world, that has a lot to do with both subjects. So I'd say definitely involved heavier on the business econ side. But, you know, aside from that, if none of that were to work out, I would really love to possibly become a professional poker player. That's always kind of been in the back of my mind, one of my dreams. I do love playing the game of poker. A lot of math involved, a lot of reading people, I love sitting at the tables. So that's kind of my backup plan right now. Hopefully involve a trip to moving to Vegas, you know, living in a nice hotel, meeting a lot of new people, having a lot of fun at night, making a lot of money in the morning. But that's a backup plan for now. So we'll see where it takes me.
That's what every father wants to hear. If you just spent $250,000 for an education. But no, I get it, and I understand. And of course, poker has become a big life right now. I mean, it's in the news. It's in the it's a glory career right now. But of course, like any other type of career that you have to manage risk, you only see the good stories. You don't see the hundreds of thousands of players that bust out trying to get there. And of course, it always comes back down to the bankroll. And I think that's one of the things that people don't understand about trading, as they don't understand about playing poker or any sort of risk taking model. It's always about the risk of ruin, and it's always about defending the bankroll. And that's where I think people end up in a lot of trouble, is they don't have enough money to realize the potential dream they want to go after, and they end up running out of money, and then, well, it's on to the next career. But what do you think about that? I mean, you know, it does take, you know, if you were going to play poker for a living, okay, that was what you ended up doing. I mean, well, how much money do you think that you could play poker with for a living? What do you think you would need? I'm just curious as to where your head is coming from.
Well, honestly, I don't really know anything about what living in the real world is like yet, but I'd imagine if I moved down there by myself and had to support myself and needed about 6 months of emergency funds, I'd probably say in the neighborhood of maybe $50,000 to $100,000. But you know, that could be way off. I don't think it is too far off, but that'd be my best guess.
Well, I mean, obviously it depends on where you live and it depends on what lifestyle you're going to live. But you know, again, so there you have, you know, if you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your whatever. If you have a car, you know, if you go to dinner, whatever, and then you have to have money to lose. So then what do you designate for potential losses? Because no matter how good you are, there are there are going to be losing streaks in anything, as you know. I mean, even, you know, the best sports teams go through losing streaks, the best poker players go through winning streaks. And I always like to tell the story of Doyle Brunson a number of years ago. he won a tournament for over $1 million, and he looked at the camera, and this was in November, and he said, I just got even for the year. Okay. So those are the pitfalls. Do you have the emotional balance to get drilled for weeks on end and be able to continue your life and live? What do you think?
Well, I think the answer is yes, but obviously I haven't put too much thought into the career. But you know, that was an interesting point you brought up about, you know, the similarities of being a poker player and a trader. I really think it takes a certain type of personality and a certain type of person to want to do that for a living. Just because nothing is guaranteed. I mean, when you think about a job, you know, whether it's an hourly wage rate or salary, I mean, everything is pretty guaranteed. It's in writing that, you know, you go to work, you're going to make this amount of money, and you can kind of plan around that. You know, the difference, I think, you know, being a trader, trading with your own money, of course, or being a poker player, or involving anything that isn't guaranteed, you know, being a salesperson, you work on commission, you know, it takes a lot of effort, and it takes, I think, a strong mental makeup and a little bit of a risk-taking personality to want to do something like that because of the unsureness of the job and, you know, the unsureness of not knowing what's going to happen. And if you happen to have a lot of drawbacks, you know, are you going to be able to survive and get back into it, you know, rather than just move on to another career?
Well, right. I mean, because again, you know, any time you go into business for yourself and poker playing would be considered business for yourself. Trading would be business for yourself. You know, there's risk and there are drawdowns and there are bad periods that you have to be able to manage through. And again, the biggest problem that everybody always has, and of course, I know you say this in economics, which we'll talk about in the next segment, but is the debt. And, you know, where do you draw the line at how much debt you can get into, and where the people that are funding you say, hey, I'm not giving you anymore, right? So, and you know, that whether it be a bank or whatever, I mean, eventually you come to a spot, and that's always an interesting feel for people is where do I get the end, and where do I, you know, what is my choke point? When am I done? Okay.
Right.
So, you know, this is things that, you know, that you look at in any type of business. And of course, I did play poker for a year, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, if poker was today, you know, back then when I did it in 1990, what it is today, I might have never left. Because again, it was fun, but of course it is a grind like any other job. And you know, one thing that you don't realize about poker players is you really have no friends, because every guy that's at the table with you is looking to beat your brains in, right? So it's right. It's hard, and typically poker players become more annoying over time, because again, the whole world's out to get them. Because the truth is the whole world is out to get them. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting thought, and I remember the first time you took me to Vegas. That was one of the things you brought up to me about, you know, playing kind of professionally or supporting yourself was, you know, you can make all the chit-chat you want and be as friendly as you want with all the people in the room, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's basically your salary is sitting on the table in front of them. So, I mean, that's got to be your main focus is beating them all the time. So that kind of makes it tough, and that isn't really one of the things I thought about is, you know, not being able to make friends with people. But I just like the thought of playing the game and being pretty carefree and hopefully winning a lot of money. But whatever the case, it's a very challenging thing to do because, you know, you gotta set yourself to a limit and set yourself to a plan. I mean, and this is basically, you know, talking about trading in a nutshell is, you know, you gotta have a plan and stick to it because, you know, the minute you waver, the minute you falter from that plan, that's when things start to spiral out of control, and that's when they're the hardest, you know, to get back to center.
All right. I mean, and that, of course, you know, I talk about that a lot on all my calls is, you know, you got to have a plan. You have to have an exit. There's a lot of things you can do, but if you don't know when you're getting out and you don't know where the ending is, then you can obviously lose everything, and that is a very common problem. And the other problem with, you know,
that's great. It starts with us.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. We're going to stop by here for a break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
Listen to yourself, turn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up.
It's up to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with my very special guest today, my son, Xander Horowitz. All right, Mr. Horowitz. So, you've been grinding the books out and getting good grades. I got to give you kudos for that. But tell me, what type of economics are they teaching you at that school? That's what I want to know. What kind of economics? Are they teaching you Bitcoin? Or are they teaching you fiat currency? That's what I want to know.
Well, I would say we haven't gotten to either of those topics yet, but I feel like our school in general kind of focuses a little bit on both. But I'd say definitely more of an Austrian economic standpoint, because that's, I think when you're really looking at economics, the true basis of economics functions on markets. And, you know, the theory behind Austrian economics is that, you know, you kind of let markets work and find equilibriums on their own. While, you know, the other kind of economics there is involves a lot more government. It's called Keynesian economics, a lot more government intervention. And, I mean, you can explain that and demonstrate that in graphs. But, I mean, there is two types. And when I first learned economics in high school, I definitely learned both types, you know, an intro level to both types. Because I think, you know, it's important to learn, you know, what both of them mean and what they do and who believes in them, what kind of people believe in them. I'd say I definitely learned a little bit more towards the market base, because I think, you know, as an economic student, you like markets, you let markets work, and I think it's more a little more interesting.
Well, now, okay, so you've had a little bit of taste of both. Now, of course, in the United States of America, we are under the Keynesian theory of economics, which is, you know, banks can the Fed can step in and print more money, and you know, fiat currencies float. So there is no, the assets are not backed, for example, by like gold or silver or something, or rocks. I mean, it could be anything. So have you formulated an opinion of which you prefer and which you'd prefer to live under? And again, there is no right or wrong answer, because the smartest people in the world, you'll get, you know, if you get a Western, you'll get somebody who says Austrian. If you get, you know, Janet Yellen or any of those, and again, they're not dumb people. They just don't get it the way that I think they should get it, but you'll get both answers. Do you have an opinion yet? Has there been one that you think is better overall?
Well, you know, I think that's kind of a tricky question to answer, because I don't think the final answer is either or. I think you got to have a little bit of a mix of both. I would definitely like to see, you know, the markets approach a little bit more, because I feel like, you know, as an economic student, I'm more inclined to say that, and just in general, I mean, I feel like you let markets work, yet society finds equilibriums, you know, without any intervention. I mean, that's what a market is. I mean, that you supply and demand, that's just the basics of economics. But I mean, also, I don't think, you know, that's the only thing, that's the end-all, be-all of economic theory. I mean, I do think, you know, government is important. I think it's being used a little bit too much right now, but I would say a little bit of a mix between the both, but I definitely focus on more of a letting markets work approach. But, you know, I don't want to take away the importance of government as a whole. I mean, I do think there is a need for them in some aspect, not necessarily as big of a one as they're taking now. But so yeah, so my answer would be a mix of both, but definitely more leaning towards letting markets work, because I think that's where you find true equilibriums, and that's where you find, you know, the true value of things, rather than, you know, an inflated or, you know, monetary value of things.
And don't you think that, I mean, I know you think this, but, you know, true price discovery, which assets price themselves, they give you what the actual value is, because the only true value of an asset is what you're willing to pay for what I'm willing to sell, right?
Right.
So, you know, when we look and we go through it, so, you know, again, I'm in agreement with you, actually, that there is some equilibrium somewhere in between both types of economic systems. But, of course, you know, Austrian lets markets collapse. If they're going to collapse, they let them collapse. They don't step in and save them. So do you like the dollar approach, where the fiat currencies, where they free float against one another, determining value every day, and that any one of the bigger players has the ability to infuse or print or make more money, or what they're calling it now, magic money? Do you like that part of the model?
I don't really like that part of the model. I think, you know, currency manipulation, obviously I don't know too much about it, but I think it just, in the end, it causes bigger problems, because you get people trying to do things that really, I think, you know, originally meant, you know, as economies of the world, that, you know, we really weren't supposed to do all this manipulation. I mean, specifically, I mean, you can look at, you know, Asia, China. I mean, they're a country that's, you know, had many bouts with currency manipulation. And I overall, I don't really like the concept because I think, you know, people try to create an edge somewhere and it ends up, you know, working out not so good in another part of the economy. So I don't really like that concept too much, and I don't know too much about it, but from a surface level understanding, you know, I think although it's meant to do good, I think it can, you know, do some crappy things too that I think would be better off if, you know, there weren't free floating currencies like that.
Well, now, have you guys discussed or learned about central banks? Has that been part of class yet?
We have learned a little bit about central banks, not too much, but, you know, enough to talk about it a little bit.
All right. Well, okay. So, you know, obviously my opinion, I used to be on the fence. I wasn't sure. And as you remember the Badger, he was more of a Keynesian, and he convinced me that was the right way to go. And I said, well, you know, I'll still stay on the fence, but I'll lean, you know, in your direction. And as I'm watching this whole mess unfold, which I do think it's a mess, and again, I'm not going to predict the top of the market or the bottom. I'm just saying I think it's a mess. I think there's a lot of problem with debt. I'm starting to believe that the central bank doesn't really have value. And if you actually look back in history, the first central bank was in England in the 1600s, and we didn't get one until 1913, which was brought to us by an Englishman. Okay, and what I see is that they're too powerful and they create too many issues. And really, at the same time, it feels to me like they're taking away my money. You have any thought to that?
Well, you know, regardless, central bank or no central bank, you know, if you want to talk about the problems of having one that's too big, I mean, I think you say it right there. They're doing too much. I don't think there's anything wrong with having, you know, a mode of authority that, you know, controls money, you know, like that, like the Fed does. But when they try to manipulate policies and kind of have their own agenda, I think that's when you run into problems. You know, I really see no problem with a central bank, but when they try to do too many things, I mean, I think that's where you see them run into problems. They do too many things. They print too much money. Instead of letting the economy work, you know, instead of more about policy, they're more about their own policy instead of, you know, the concept of a policy that, you know, the world is supposed to abide by.
And again, I see your point, and that makes a lot of sense. And the problem here becomes that now, if you look at the owners of the central bank, you know, it's a private corporation, or, you know, privately owned, but it's owned by J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs. I mean, those two places, among others that own it, have an agenda. They have their own agenda. So it's kind of hard to find somebody to run a central bank that doesn't have some sort of agenda. What do you think?
Right. Well, I mean, you look back any point in history, somebody's always got an agenda in any aspect of life. So, I mean, that it doesn't surprise me. I wish it wouldn't be like that and be what I think is a little bit corrupt. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. The world revolves around greed and power and, you know, who can get the most of it, when, and how quick they can get it and what they can do about it. So, I mean, that's just something I think that we have to live with no matter how much we disagree with it.
Well, I mean, actually, the founding fathers had it a little bit right. Now, when they put the delegate system in, it was put in to prevent the rich from controlling the election because they were much smaller. But, of course, everybody neglects to say that when the Constitution was put in and the Founding Fathers started, you had to be rich and you had to be white to vote. So they had an edge, but of course they did put in the delegate system really for that reason, okay, to prevent those things from happening. So my question, I guess, to you is, you know, is there a solution? Can we come to a fair solution, or is it going to always be like kind of one side or the other?
You talk about in the concept of having a central bank?
A central bank in politics, just in general.
I don't think there will ever be an end-all, be-all, fair solution to all this. The thing about politics and, you know, policy, there's always two sides of the aisle. You know, one person's on this side of the fence, another person's on the other. And I don't know if you can really find a balance.
And that'll do it. I appreciate it, Xander. Great to have you on. I love doing it. It was great to be with you. This has been The Bubba Show. We had my son, Xander Horowitz, is a special guest today. If you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. Cheers.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.